And one of the big issues in the Middle East now is water. Are you beginning to get the point, friends? King of the Mountain, you might just want to consider getting a copy of that book. It'll read like a historic novel, but it's all 100% true. $20. Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. At $4 for postage and handling, call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner with us. Please send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. Now, they're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Richard Gage and Pamela Senzi, and we're going to be talking about what happened on September 11th, 2001, at the time when the Twin Towers came down and Building 7 came down, and this was all controlled demolition so that we could simply mobilize the American people to go to war with first of Afghanistan and then with Iraq. The American people didn't want to go to war. You need an excuse. So they killed almost 3,000 American people that day. Now, most people think, or many people think, that this was an act of terrorism. But if you watch Building 7 come down, and you can see it on the internet, and I challenge you to go up on YouTube and simply type in YouTube Building 7 coming down, and you'll see how the center of the roof of the building caves in first, and that's what you do. You take out the set of supports so the walls fall in, then the rest of the building just collapses. It can typical controlled demolition, falling at the speed of sound. And what about it? And was this brought down by a plane hitting it? No, no plane hit Building 7. There were a few small fires there. We don't know how they began. But, of course, the thing is that they do not want the American people to know that Building 7 was controlled demolition, because if it was, they may start to look at the building, the Twin Towers coming down, and notice how the massive clouds of dust, cement dust, something vaporized the dust. If this was simply a collapse, you wouldn't vaporize the dust. You wouldn't vaporize the cement. You wouldn't have vaporized almost 1,000 bodies, which have never been found. Not one iota of those bodies. They were simply vaporized. How do you vaporize suddenly bodies and cement if this is simply a collapse and a pancake type of collapse? Richard Gage has been on the front lines of this battle to awaken the American people to the fact that what happened on September 11th was certainly a controlled demolition, or at least we haven't been told the truth. And if that's true, then the entire war on terrorism is phony as it can be. And our closing our terrorism, pardon me, our embassies over in the Near East and the Middle East at the present time because of the threat of terrorism is as phony as most of what we've been told about all the terrorist attacks on America that have been prevented. There may have been one. There may have only been one real threat. All the rest of them are contrived. Richard Gage, thank you so much for being with us. Richard, are you there?
I'm here with you, with the American people. It is my honor. Thank you.
And Pamela, are you there? Pamela, are you there? Well, right now, Richard, why don't you tell our listeners?
Sorry, Doctor. I was on mute. Yes, I'm here. And thanks for having me on again with Richard.
All right, fine. Well, Richard, why don't you give our listeners the background of what motivated you? Oh, Sydney, you are an architect. You've been an architect for many years. And what motivated you to take up this battle to try to inform the American people and to mobilize almost 2,000 architects and engineers who've signed a petition agreeing with you that what we saw that day was not what we've been told we saw? What motivated you?
It was extraordinary for me. 6 years ago, here I am, a Reagan Republican, really, right? I'm supporting the war in Iraq. I'm supporting the war in Afghanistan. I'm excited that finally Colin Powell is up there giving the solid evidence for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and the yellow cake and the aluminum tubes and all of that. And I'm saying, let's go get those Muslims, right? Boy, did I have a wake-up call. And I want to tell you listeners about that when we come back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, but it's so natural for people to believe what they're told by the media until you understand the media is controlled. There's an organized effort to lie and deceive the American people.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4-6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You know Monday is the day before Tuesday. You know Tuesday is the day before Wednesday. You know Christmas Eve is the day before Christmas. And you know New Year's Eve is the day before New Year's Day. But you don't always know the day before. You don't know the day before an emergency happens. You don't know the day before a tornado or an act of terrorism. You don't know the day before an earthquake or power outage. And by the time you do know it was the day before, it's already too late. You know it's a good idea to be prepared. And we're airing this message to make sure you know freezedryguy.com is ready to help with your emergency preparedness needs, including great tasting, long-lasting freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. You know today is the day to take action. Tomorrow,
hold the thought here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Richard is just saying that the key to understanding what happened that day is to watch Building 7 come down. This was the third, certainly, building to be brought down, and certainly the third highest building to be brought down in this manner. But the question is, why would a plane crashing into the building to cause this? Of course, there was no plane that hit the building. There were only a few small fires. So why did the building come down? Well, basically, all you need to do is look at it, and you can see how the center of the roof collapses first, And then the building simply collapses, falls at the speed of sound, which is what happens with a controlled demolition. This is not what would happen. The building comes down perfectly symmetrically. It doesn't fall to the right or to the left, to the front or the back. Perfectly symmetrically, controlled demolition. Beautiful example of controlled demolition. I personally interviewed the man who was in charge of cleaning up the debris there. You can hear that on my 4-CD set. Why do the buildings come down? And this gentleman who was there the day after the collapse, and his job was to supervise the taking care of the debris, and he told me 99% certain this was a controlled demolition. Well, if it was a controlled demolition, then they lied to us about the Twin Towers. And almost 3,000 people died that day. Almost 3,000 people, and we say nobody's responsible as a wicked terrorist. But if this was a controlled demolition, this had nothing to do with terrorism. You pick up the story there, Richard, and tell it, and then we'll get to Pam in just a moment or two and let our listeners know about the wonderful project that she's involved with. But go ahead with your story, Richard, please.
Well, the terrorists that are supposed to be involved in 9-11 could not have planted a very super high-tech thermite in these towers. I mean, we're talking about scientific forensic evidence of nanothermite, chips of nanothermite with particles 1,000 times smaller than the human hair, found by an independent team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen. These curious red-gray chips are evidence of very sophisticated incendiaries that are manufactured only in the most advanced defense contracting laboratories, and yet there they are found through all the dust samples collected.
These were in the dust samples that were actually taken from there. The government did everything they could to keep any samples been taken, but the people did get samples of the dust. And this was an analysis of the dust samples that revealed the nanothermite.
That's correct. And not only did independent scientists find this, but actually officials, the USGS and toxicology environmental labs one of the famous ones that just escaped me, they found the curious small iron microspheres. Up to 6% of the samples include elemental iron microspheres, previously molten iron droplets in all the World Trade Center dust, and these are amazing because it's direct evidence of thermite incendiaries. There's no other way they could have been made. Thermite is composed of iron oxide and aluminum powder, and when it goes off, it creates these spheres. And so they're found everywhere, but they don't explain what they are. So this is extraordinary. Not only that, but officials also document in the debris in World Trade Center 7 the steel as being completely corroded with a high temperature corrosion with sulfur and with molten iron, again, the byproduct of incendiaries. They document this very carefully, but this evidence has been thrown out by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, when they came in, took over the investigation in 2004 and completely whitewashed this evidence for thermite and did not and even say now that they didn't examine the rubble for and the dust for evidence of explosives or incendiaries. So this is really quite amazing story that most Americans are completely unaware of.
The thing is that if you work for the government or for an agency that works for the government, you do not dare tell the truth. You do what you are told to do, and if you don't, they'll come after you and make your life miserable, and you'll have to flee the country. I mean, basically, unfortunately, you are not allowed to tell the truth when you work for the government. And basically, if you do know the truth and you speak out, it could very well be a serious consequences. So basically, we have all these these government investigations, but we've never allowed an independent investigation. Now, there have been a lot of independent investigations, but not with government authority. And basically, these people find the evidence of the nanothermite, the cutting charges, which took them down. Go right ahead there, Richard.
Well, that's why 2,000 architects and engineers, those that I represent now, and I travel all around the world speaking to groups of 100 to 300 in 28 foreign countries now, on their behalf, alerting people to what really the facts are. And there's no greater effort that we have done in the 9/11 truth movement than to put together a massive global ad campaign in 11 cities around the world, in which we've raised $225,000, and Pam is in charge of this campaign along with the other core committee members, and I'm so excited that she's here to tell people about the campaign. Tell us the status of that, Pam.
Well, Pam, you go right ahead, because Pam certainly is working now with Richard and architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and she and her friends have been able to raise money, and there's going to be a massive ad campaign starting the 1st of September in 11 major cities, pointing out the fact that certainly those buildings did not come down as we were told, that we've been lied to, and Building 7 was controlled demolition. Pam, you tell the background and the story of what happened and what is going to happen with this educational program, which is so vitally important.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Stan. This campaign, is, as you said, it's going to be in 11 major cities. For example, in New York City, we're going to have a 50-foot billboard in Times Square about Building 7. All the ads are the same ads. They say, were you aware, did you know that a third tower fell on 9/11? And that's a crucial, that's a very, very crucial question. And once people start asking it and go to the rethink911.org site, they're going to learn more. And they're going to learn more from experts. We're doing a video project, and we're getting experts out on the homepage as well as we're building expert testimony on the evidence page as well. All around the world, in San Diego, San Francisco, Dallas, Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Toronto, Vancouver, London, Sydney, we're going to have billboards, taxi top ads, transit system ads, backlit signs that are just, you know, signs all over the city. For instance, those are going to be in Sydney and in London. So it's very, very exciting. And the most exciting thing is that tens of millions of people will be educated about the reality of Building 7, which is something that the corporate media has not reported. And after day one of 9/11, reports about Building 7 just disappeared. The 9/11 Commission report did not include an account of Building 7.
And of course, we plead with people to go to the internet and type in simply YouTube, Building 7 falling, or Building 7 collapse, and to watch it and then get other people to watch it. Realize this is controlled demolition. If it's a controlled demolition, then everything you've been told, ladies and gentlemen, is a lie. Go right ahead, Pam. Sydney, how did you raise the $225,000 for this?
Well, wow. You know, what a testament to the heart of the American people who are supporting this campaign, who are supporting educating the populace around the world about Building 7. People just came through. They just came through in droves. Many people donated multiple times and with deep pockets. And many people who simply, you know, couldn't donate much donated anyway. And so we're so extremely grateful. We are still raising funds through the weekend for a poll.
All right, fine. Now, basically, why don't you get out the website or how people can contact you if they'd like to contribute, because you're going to continue this effort to educate the American people and even expand it. How can people get in touch with you and donate if they'd like to?
Well, they can go to the rethink911.org site, and they can support the campaign through that site.
All right, now, what is the address? What is the
www.rethink911.org.
www.rethink911.org. Rethink911.org. Go right ahead.
Well, the other thing is that we are going to be developing grassroots actions. And the biggest one that we have right now is extremely crucial. We want people in the month of September, particularly around the 12th anniversary, and they can learn more about it on the website. But we want people to reach out to their congressmen, to their state senators, to their various legislators, their elected officials, their appointed officials, the fire chiefs, fire marshals, attorney generals, prosecutors, police chiefs, police union heads, anyone that you think needs to have this information, let them know, educate them, educate the people that represent us, and let them know about this hard evidence and forensic science that the thousands of experts are challenging the official story with.
And ladies and gentlemen, there are over 2,000 architects, or almost 2,000 architects and engineers, that have signed a petition saying, we need another evaluation of what happened. We don't believe what we've been told, in essence. And basically, of course, you certainly want to support this. It's such a vitally important issue. And we learn out who murdered all those Americans. Who murdered those Americans, because there's no statute of limitation.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050, jigsawmagnesium.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Dr. Stan and our guest this evening, Richard Gage, from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and almost 2,000 licensed architects and engineers have signed the petition saying that certainly we do not believe what we've been told in essence, and we need to have an independent investigation. We've never been allowed to have an official independent or criminal investigation to find out what really happened. But those buildings were brought down, certainly, by controlled demolition, but you need only to look at Building 7 to know it's complete controlled demolition. Then, of course, when you look at the Twin Towers coming down, and you notice how the tops of the buildings almost disappear, you know, they just sort of vaporize. Why would they do that? The fact that the South Tower, starts to fall off the top of it, and then suddenly it's all gone. And then these massive clouds of dust. And that, of course, is pulverized cement. How do you pulverize the cement? Simply with a collapse of that sort. You might have it broken, but you wouldn't have it pulverized. And what happened to the 1,000 bodies? And so many unanswered questions. Well, if you have a question for our guests, for Pam or for Richard, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question. But Richard, Sydney, do you think the American people are beginning to wake up and realize that we were manipulated into the war with Afghanistan and Iraq? Suddenly, somebody, of whatever reason, we don't know who it was, but somebody took those buildings down to force America, to force the American people to be willing to go to war. Do you think that's a reasonable explanation?
Well, that would be beyond the scope of my expertise and mission. However, it does seem reasonable because, after all, it was done, and that's what happened afterwards. And now we're living with the consequences of those devastating wars, the loss of our reputation as a country. We're living with the devastating consequences of the devastation to our economy, as well, where trillions of dollars have been spent on these wars, and trillions of other dollars have been stolen from our treasury by the banking system. So, at some point, Dr. Stan, the American people do have to wake up. And have they done that yet? I don't think so. We don't have an investigation, a serious one, of these matters. We don't have an investigation of the loss of our liberties as displayed and made public by the likes of Edward Snowden and others. We're calling Edward Snowden, and at least in the mainstream media and most of the public, a traitor, when we're not even stopping to realize that we are being systematically spied on by our own government in direct violation of the Constitution. The real treason is coming from the NSA and now the White House, who's pointing fingers at Snowden as well. Again, that is beyond the scope of our work, but you asked me to comment, and I did.
All right, fine. Well, basically, now you put together a couple of DVDs. What are they? And we do carry, incidentally, both of those DVDs. We think it's vitally important. What was the second DVD you put out? And don't you interview an awful lot of experts who agree that certainly we have not been told the truth about what happened?
Yeah, they not only agree with it, there are 43 technical experts, including high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, controlled demolition experts, all laying out the evidence systematically for the different categories of what happened in these three buildings. And it is extraordinary, and it is very damaging to the official story. It pulls the rug out from the catastrophic destruction of the three World Trade Center skyscrapers, at least as told to us in the myth that has been developed by NIST, our government, and so forth. NIST, again, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, such as, for instance, in the Twin Towers. We, as you mentioned, we do have this upper block of building above the point of jet plane impact, which about an hour after the plane hit, it we're told it drives the rest of the building down due to the structural weakening of from the fires. But that's not what's happening at all. The videos are very clear, all of them. They show that this upper 12-story section telescopes in on itself, very similar to Building 7. After that, there's nothing left to drive the rest of the building down. What we see, well, what we hear, is that there's 118 first responders on record talking about hundreds of explosions with laterally discharging 4-ton perimeter structural steel sections sent laterally 60 miles an hour, landing 600 feet outside of each of these buildings, such that there's no stack of floors down at the bottom of these towers. We're told this is a pancaking collapse, and yet these floors, 110 of them, are not stacked up at the bottom of either tower. They have been
Hold the thought.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730. And ask about business opportunities.
What's here?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, our guests this evening, Richard Gage and Cynthia Pam. And basically, they're working to get the American people to understand what really happened on September 11, 2001. And those buildings came down by controlled demolition. They did not come down because planes crashed into them, but they were playing games for your mind. You saw the planes, you saw the fires, and you think that's why the buildings come down? No steel-reinforced building has ever come down by a plane crashing into it, or certainly a fire, and not only that, but if you watch certainly those twin towers come down, you see the billowing dust. That's the dust. That is all the furniture. Everything inside is vaporized. How do you certainly vaporize desks? How do you vaporize carpeting? How do you vaporized chairs, but it was all vaporized. There was very little left at the bottom other than certainly the steel. And then there was this great deal of molten steel, pools of molten steel that remained hot for a good long time afterwards. Richard, how long did that molten steel remain molten after the buildings came down?
Yeah, this is extremely important. People don't realize that office fires only get to be about 500 degrees, 1,000 degrees, maybe under the absolute hottest conditions, 1,500 degrees. But remember, the jet fuel had all burned up an hour before the building collapsed. So it even, according to the manufacturer of jet fuel, in open air only burns about 600 degrees. But we have, well, dozens and dozens of independent testimony from iron workers, structural engineers, and first responders about pools of molten steel flowing like a river, according to the structural engineer of the World Trade Center itself, Leslie Robertson. This is very well documented in the DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, which I understand your listeners can get on your website also, Stan, so I encourage you to let them know how to get that latest DVD. But it is extremely important. The molten steel, or molten iron, as it turns out to be, is only begins to get molten at about 2,800 degrees, 2 to 3 times the temperatures required or that are available from a normal office fire. So this is a complete discrepancy. And it is consistent with the molten iron spheres, or previously molten iron spheres, that are found in all the World Trade Center dust. It's completely consistent with the unignited chips of nanothermite found by the small team of scientists in all the 4 independently collected samples that they analyzed. So we have a devastating set of evidence here.
Well, now, I understand that the molten pools of steel existed for some time. I mean, you would think that certainly if there was a fire and there was molten steel, it would soon consolidate. How long were the molten pools of steel there? Do we have any idea?
It was weeks and weeks and weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, they would just cool down. Why did it cool down? Obviously, there was something else going on, and I've heard this from other sources. The molten pools of steel were there for weeks. Why did that happen? And nobody ever wants to ask. Our telephone number, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. Before we go on, Richard, I want you to give your website out one more time, and that'll ask Pam to give her website out one more time. How can people get to your website, Richard?
It is ae911truth.org. That's ae911truth.org. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Pam?
Okay, fine. Oh, Pam, yes. Do you want to give your website again?
Absolutely. It's rethink911.org, rethink911.org. And I want to give a shout-out to the other campaign managers and coordinators, Mike Diga and Ted Walters. Ted was the director for Remember Building 7, which is also a sponsor of this campaign, and Mike Diga is a biomedical engineer who has an expertise in nanothermite, so we're very grateful to be working with him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the key to this, first getting people to understand what's going on, is watch Building 7 come down. I will have to admit that for the first couple of years after the attack, I didn't want to believe that this was done intentionally. I knew that they had advanced knowledge, but I didn't really believe, I didn't want to believe that they would intentionally kill almost 3,000 Americans that day. And yet, of course, when I saw Building 7 come down, I watched it come down on the television at least a dozen times before I finally had to admit that's controlled demolition. Watch the center of the roof collapse. Watch the center of the roof collapse, and then the building comes down, and that's so they take out the central structure so that the walls will fall in. Is that correct, Sidney Richard?
Yes, these buildings came down symmetrically. Any kind of a building collapse, which would be caused by organic sources like a fire, would fall asymmetrically, obeying the law of entropy, falling to the path of least resistance. But these go straight down through what was the path of greatest resistance, or should have been, the thousands of tons of structural steel columns that are 3 to 5 times stronger than they ever needed to be to support this building, in case of Building 7, for instance. But all those columns had to have been removed all at once across the entire length, the football field and length. This building was massive. All had to be removed at once, and then synchronistically timed floor by floor. Fire cannot accomplish that level of precision.
And, of course, basically, you can see pictures of the buildings coming down in Las Vegas. In fact, there's some of them. They're sitting up on the Internet, and you can see the Building 7 looks just exactly like the buildings that came down in Las Vegas that were controlled demolition. I'm sure you've seen those as well, haven't you, Richard?
Oh, indeed, and most Americans have, fortunately, so they have a body of reference with which to compare the destruction of Building 7, and that's why it's intuitive, and people instantly know, and that's why the media has not played Building 7's destruction since 9/11, with extremely few exceptions, even though it is the third worst structural failure in modern history, and even though officials were juggling the hot potato for 7 years before releasing their final report.
It took them 7 years to come up with their final report, and then it was all a lie. In fact, it wasn't the initial report that came out, certainly more suspicious. In other words, the initial report, they really felt there was something wrong with Building 7. What was that all about?
Well, they suggest that its shear studs were missing, and I'll just explain this in 60 seconds or less. The official story says that these massive fires on the 12th floor heated up these beams, which were long span steel beams. But that couldn't have happened because the beams were fireproof. And the fire was out an hour before the building collapsed, so it could not have caused this so-called thermal expansion. But anyway, those beams were heated up, theoretically, pushing a girder off of its seat on column 79, and then causing the 13th floor to fall on the 12th, the 12th on the 11th, et cetera, for 9 floors before the whole inside of this building caved in on itself. And then they say the outside then caved in. But were that the case, we would have seen massive deformation and structural damage visible on the outside of the building, with granite panels crushing and massive window breakage. But none of that ever happened. And that didn't happen because the theory is completely false. What really happened is a series of explosions starting down in the building, down lower in the building, at the first or fifth levels or something, and then synchronistically timed floor by floor, allowing the top of the building, as you suggest, to fall smoothly, symmetrically, straight down into its own footprint.
All right. In fact, if you want to hear a gentleman who is actually in the building, we have a 4-CD set, and 2 of the interviews are with a gentleman who is actually in the building from the very beginning, right up until the very end. I think it was the last person to get out of the building. That's a 4-CD set is Why Did the Buildings Come Down? And there I interview the gentleman who is supposed to be in charge of cleaning up the debris. And he will tell you, you'll hear him say, 99% certain it was a controlled demolition. He was there. He saw it. He was in charge of cleaning up buildings after controlled demolition. And there was little question in his mind. So what happened in Building 7 was controlled demolition. And if that's true, then basically everything you have heard about what happened that day is a lie. Now, didn't this Mr. Silverstein, who had simply a lease on these buildings, a 100-year lease, had only put up a rather small amount of money on his own, and he suddenly ends up getting some $7 billion, and then he's trying to sue certainly the airlines, and I think the judge told him he'd already been paid more than enough, and he wasn't going to let him sue the airlines as well. What was that all about?
Well, he indeed did put up about $125 million, and most of that was actually borrowed. The rest of it was to be paid to the Port Authority, a public entity, from which Larry Silverstein purchased the World Trade Center complex in a 99-year lease that took place just 6 weeks prior to 9/11. So the whole thing is rather suspicious and needs to be investigated very, very much so. In fact, those buildings were half unoccupied, according to some sources, and requiring, according to official sources, an abatement of the asbestos in them. So here's a $5 billion project that he's forced to do by the city, and yet he purchased this $3.2 billion building knowing that it's half unoccupied, that it's outdated, that it needs another $5 billion, in fact, in mechanical electrical systems, and that even then most people weren't happy, the tenants in the building, due to the very long windows that reminded them of jail cells compared to the modern skyscrapers that have come up since the 1980s. So this whole thing is very, very suspicious and needs to be investigated.
Pam, what are your thoughts? Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Pam? Yes. Can you hear me, Sam?
I certainly can. You go right ahead. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out in the audience, have a question for Richard or Pam, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But starting the 1st of September, why Pam is going to have these ads up, massive 60-foot ads in Times Square and in London, all across America, certainly on 11 major sites, pointing out that Building 7 certainly did not come down, as we've been told, hopefully to get people thinking about this phony war on terrorism, which is as phony as a $3 bill and all these threats they're telling us about. Oh, they're protecting us from these wicked terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, how many major terrorist attacks have we had in the last 11 years? They have them almost every day today in Iraq. Why don't we have any here in America? Are they really protecting us? No. In fact, if you look at their so-called 54 attacks that have been aborted, only one of them may be real. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I would certainly like to invite your listeners to view and purchase the film 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out. They can see a one-hour PDF version on YouTube. It was on the CBS most shared and most watched list last year. This film has a caliber of experts such as Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Bob Bowman, who is the former director of the National Strategic Defense Initiative under two presidents. That's the kind of preeminent insiders and distinguished experts that are challenging the official story. So if people would simply get that film and participate in our grassroots effort in September to get that film and the petition, which they'll be able to link to through the web, and the nanothermite document, to their legislators, to appointed officials, to police chiefs, fire marshals, police union heads, congressmen, state legislators, anyone that they think needs to have this evidence and should be educated about it. Participate. Anyone can do it. You can get, we're going to have lawn signs, t-shirts, banners, all sorts of things available in the store. So at the AE 9/11 Truth Store and perhaps on the Rethink 9/11 site soon as well. So people can purchase these products and become the media themselves.
Okay, well, I think it's vitally important that people get involved. Ladies and gentlemen, Dante in his Inferno said this: the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no position of neutrality. You're either even involved trying to save America, or we're going to lose America. Pam, Pam, Pam. Well, right now, hello? Let's go to Joe calling us from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, well, I have a question. Your wife just told me that, because I said to Barbara, I says, geez, I says, nobody's ever been able to answer the question about what was so important about Building 7 that they would make it want it to come down. And your wife says because of this fellow, I think you mentioned his name, Silverstein, had insurance on it and he wanted to collect on it. But then again, I ask, well, wouldn't the insurance companies have delved into any kind of fraud or, you know, some kind of...
basically, the explanation, the only explanation I have heard was that the plane that went down in Shanksville was actually supposed to crash into Building 7. It didn't crash, but they had to get rid of the building because there were all the explosives in it. If they didn't suddenly get rid of the building, people would look around, find the explosives, and realize what had happened. So they had to take it down. But basically, the other plane that went down in Shanksville was supposed to hit it. That, I don't know whether that's accurate or no, but it's the explanation. Okay?
Well, okay. So I guess it'll just remain a mystery.
Okay. Richard, do you have any comment at all for Joe?
Yeah. Why would they run a plane into it is the second question. And I think it's important to realize that there's a lot of things that we could speculate about here, and it's kind of fun to do that, but it's not helpful in terms of motivating the American people with solid forensic evidence. So we really do try to avoid speculation because it simply gives the media on a silver platter and our detractors ammunition to use against them.
And I think you're absolutely right, Joe, and absolutely right, Richard. Joe, thanks for calling. Let's quickly go to Bob calling from Post Falls. Hi, Post Falls, Idaho. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I had a comment on that.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, it's a friend shared a video. It's called Loose Change.
Yes,
regarding the subject you're talking of.
And yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about the video, Loose Change, a very, very important video. Everybody
BBC
see it. It's called Loose Change.
About the Building 7 before it actually even happened. I think it was 15 minutes before it happened.
Right. You know, that's absolutely right. The British announced that the building had come down sometime before it actually came down. I think it was all staged. God bless. Yeah. Thanks very much for calling, Bob. Bye-bye. God bless. Okay, fine. Our guest has been Richard Gage and Pam, and we're going to see, I hope, they're going to have this ads there on the 1st of September, and we need to get people thinking. Well, Richard,
do you have a chronic illness that is disrupting your life? Have you lost hope that you'll get better? If you have, Rob Manning may be able to help you. Rob is an experienced nurse specializing in integrative health care. If you'd like to talk to Rob without charge, or if you need nursing care or recovery coaching, call him. That's Rob Manning at 613-822-7625. 613-822-7625. You can access Rob's website at illnessstrategies.ca. That's illnessstrategies.ca. And that's spelled with three S's. Or email Rob at illnessstrategy@live.com. That's illnessstrategies@live.com. And once again, Rob's telephone number is area code 613-822-7625. Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
God bless. Thanks you both very much. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed Richard and Pam. But basically, they're very courageous people. You know, it's been said that all that's necessary for evil to triumph is that good people do nothing. And the price that good people pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they are ruled by evil men. And ladies and gentlemen, we are ruled by evil men today, and they kill those people. I'm not sure who is responsible, but we do know that President Bush refused to actually ever testify under oath about what happened at that time, and he wouldn't even appear before the investigating committee without Dick Cheney there by his side. I think that he was probably frightened to death. He knew what had happened. He may not have ordered it, but he knew what had happened, and he was afraid, of course, he would be held responsible for not going after the murderers. And basically, ladies and gentlemen, those people were murdered. But actually, we have certainly a four-tape set on 911. Then we have a four-CD or tape set, a 911 update. We carry architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth Video, and we also have the video on explosive evidence. All of these DVDs and four CD sets or tape sets are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But I challenge you to go onto the internet. Just type in YouTube, Building 7, watch it come down a few times. You realize it was controlled demolition. And if it was controlled demolition, then they murdered all of those innocent men and women on September 11th. And basically, there's so much more to the story. If you look at the pictures of Shanksville, where the plane nosed down and crashed directly into the ground, only there's no wreckage there. There are no wings. There are no tail, no motors. The plane just crashed and no wreckage. The wreckage was over a distance of about 8 miles because they shot the plane down, but they can't let you know they shot the plane down and killed all those people. Certainly, as far as the Pentagon is concerned, basically the original hole in the Pentagon was about 18 feet by 18 feet. We're told the whole plane went in there, the wings, the motor, the tail, everything went through this little 18-foot hole. But I talked to personally a woman who was in the Pentagon. She came out through that hole that you saw on the side of the building, and there was no wreckage inside. But immediately she was accosted by several government agents who told her to keep her mouth shut if she didn't want to know what was good for her. They threatened her never to tell the truth. She actually has a lawsuit against the government at this time, but of course you're never going to hear about that because the media is controlled. How do we know the media is controlled? We have an excellent book. It's called The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor, Professor Bagdikian, from the University of California. He thinks that the right-wing controls the media. The right-wing thinks the left-wing controls the media. And basically, what's controlled by the Brotherhood, by the Brotherhood of Darkness. And basically, you need to get my book. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And I need to tell you that we do need financial help to maintain our network out across America. So if you're in a position to help, why certainly give us a call or certainly just get in touch with us. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And you can get the address if you'd like to set something, if you'd like to order a certain the various items we have. If you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, get our four best CDs or tapes of the month, subscribe to our newsletter, certainly get the various books and DVDs and tape sets and video sets and four CD sets that we have. Certainly, we sell Miracle Truth show products. We sell Berkey water filters. We sell certainly spices. We have healthcare products, the products that Barbara and I take that keep us healthy. And so if you'd like to know more about them, simply give us a call. We'll send you a list of the health products. But we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders, for our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We are on the front lines of this battle for the survival of this men's souls and the survival of Western civilization. Until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who is formerly the senior editor for the New American Magazine, was editor for Time for Republic Magazine, and certainly writes regular articles for Lou Rockwell, and you can get those articles up on the Internet on a regular basis. And he also writes the monthly newsletter for Radio Liberty, and we appreciate that. And incidentally, we just did get the latest newsletter from him. We're enjoying it, and we're just putting our comments on the back of bottom of it. I used to write the newsletter. I did for 15 or 16 years, but it was just getting to be too much of a burden for me. And so we have William, and we feel very fortunate in having him write our monthly newsletter. So if William's available, I would love to talk to him. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble today. You know, it was Dante who said that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. And there are a lot of people out there who just don't want to be involved. They just want to lead the good life. But I will tell you that certainly this good life is going to end very, very soon. We have an artificial prosperity created by a massive printing of a fiat money system. And just before the system collapsed, fiat money systems always bring great prosperity to many of the people. And then suddenly the whole thing collapses and people lose everything and are impoverished. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to happen to our country. And if you are not involved, you are part and parcel of the problem. You've got to join with us in this effort to educate the people, to begin preparing our local communities to be able to stand and be able to maintain some semblance of order when the whole financial system of America comes crashing down because of the trillions of dollars of derivatives and the quadrillions of dollars of derivatives and interest rate derivatives out there across America. Well, with us is William Grigg. Hi, William. How are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks so much.
And what are we going to be talking about this evening?
I think it would be a good idea to continue in the vein that you were just mining there a second ago with respect to the artificial prosperity and the fact that we're in for one of history's most unsettling and tumultuous reality checks very quickly. And one of the things that is happening right now that I think people should pay very careful attention to is what's going on at the municipal and county level with respect to the familiar corruption that is endemic to government, but specifically with reference to property seizures and the fact that as sales taxes and, of course, property taxes have plummeted in the economic contraction, there is a lot more of outright confiscation of property, confiscation of commercial property, and seizure of commercial property and residential property through spurious blight designations and so forth. They're simply grabbing land and grabbing homes and grabbing businesses. And in many instances, they're punishing people who speak out against them. There's a case that happened in Norfolk, Virginia, involving a man who has a business that's about 80 years old that is being seized in order to expand a local university. And he put up a sign on his own property condemning the seizure of his business through eminent domain, and he was going to be hit with extortionate fines of $1,000 a week, if I remember correctly, because he supposedly violated the zoning ordinance against advertising.
By putting up a sign on his own property talking about how corrupt the government was, ladies and gentlemen, we got real problems. We'll be back in a moment with William Grigg.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You know Monday is the day before Tuesday. You know Tuesday is the day before Wednesday. You know Christmas Eve is the day before Christmas. And you know New Year's Eve is the day before New Year's Day. But you don't always know the day before. You don't know the day before an emergency happens. You don't know the day before a tornado or an act of terrorism. You don't know the day before an earthquake or power outage. And by the time you do know it was the day before, it's already too late. You know it's a good idea to be prepared. And we're airing this message to make sure you know freezedryguy.com is ready to help with your emergency preparedness needs, including great-tasting, long-lasting freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. You know today is the day to take action. Tomorrow could be too late.
Dr. Stan, our guest is William Grigg, and basically he was just saying that President Obama had given a press conference today and talking about William Snowden. And if William Snowden hadn't given out all that information, we'll go right ahead with your remarks.
Supposedly, if he hadn't given out all this information, Mr. Obama was just right on the cusp of embarking on this program where there was going to be a public discussion of what the NSA really does. But Snowden apparently preempted this. That was a story Mr. Obama was telling today. He preempted this with his untimely and unwarranted disclosure of what the NSA is actually doing. And that spoiled it for the rest of us, because Mr. Snowden spoke out of turn. Suddenly we're no longer going to have this vital public discussion of the things that the government has been concealing from us. What that means by vital public discussion, of course, would be a controlled discussion that tell us lies. They've been lying promiscuously about what the NSA is up to. Now, people like...
Could I make a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen? If you have access to a computer, go up on that computer and just type in YouTube, President Obama, Jay Leno, and you can actually see the interview where President Obama talks to Jay Leno and insists that there is no program out there. There is no program out there where they are listening to our telephone conversations. All they're doing is collecting some information on telephone numbers, and certainly if the people, two young men who actually were responsible for the Boston Marathon bombing, we ought to know who they might be talking to. Maybe they were talking to people in London or some other country that were simply involved in similar terrorist activities, and that's all we were really doing. But there was no listening to our telephone conversations. This just wasn't true. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. I mean, we've known this for a long time.
Sure.
We've been talking about this for years. You go up, look up Project Echelon. This was around 20 or 30 years ago where they were listening to our phone conversations, not as effectively as they do today, but certainly they were reading our emails. They were certainly reading our faxes, and they were keeping these all electronically. They monitor everybody in the United States and most of the people over in Europe, any place where there's an electronic communication. We have our agents recording all of these. Certainly they're listened to by computers, and then if there's anything unusual, they're listened to by people. But President Obama went on the Jay Leno program and simply lied to the American people. And if he would lie about that, what else is he lying about? But you must also understand that President Obama is simply a front for the Brotherhood of Darkness.
Yeah.
He does what he's told to do. They tell him the script, they tell him what to say, and he says it, whether he believes it or not. Go right ahead, William.
I think that in terms of assessing what Mr. Obama is lying about, you can round it up to everything. I think that everything that emerges from Mr. Obama's mouth or that is printed over his signature could be considered a lie, including the punctuation. What he said on Leno, of course, is that they're not listening. We know that they have been listening, and there are manifold disclosures from, of course, what Mr. Snowden has provided to the press and other things that have been turned up subsequent to his disclosure about the scope of the surveillance program, and that it is something which is being carried out comprehensively within the United States, supposedly in the name of protecting us against foreign threats. It's all, of course, a violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's something that's not authorized by the Constitution, and it's something that is profoundly troubling because every enforcement body within the federal government, including the DEA and the IRS and state and local police departments, feed into this collation of data, into this omnivorous gathering mechanism, and they receive from it what they need in order to do the bidding of the central government. That explains, among other things, why this past week, in pursuit of this supposed terrorist threat, we were ordered to panic stations about a week ago for no good reason. We're told that there are threats that only the government can discern, and these threats have been neutralized in a way that the government has carried out that it cannot share with us. In other words, we're not told anything about this supposed conflict going on. We're not told who the threat is. We're not told how the threat was dealt with. We're supposed to take the government's word for this. But one of the things that was said yesterday was that every police department in this country received a directive from the Department of Homeland Security to be on heightened alert because of an unspecified, geographically ambiguous threat that would be associated with a terrorist group that was not identified, or a terrorist, potential terrorist movement or threat that the identity of which was not disclosed. What they're admitting by this, first of all, is that these local police agencies, which at one point were independent and locally accountable, at least to some extent, have become affiliates of this unitary, vertically integrated Homeland Security apparatus. But it's also pointing out the fact that they are in this reciprocal relationship with the federal government, the Homeland Security Department, with the National Security Agency. They provide information to the central government, and the central government gives them their marching orders, because every single one of them has received federal funding to some extent or another. And this federal funding often comes by way of the so-called war on drugs, through asset forfeiture, through equitable sharing programs that the federal government has arranged, where the federal government takes a little bit of a bite when they seize property or automobiles or cash, often from people who are never formally charged with crime. That's one of the ways they've gotten the local police departments, and tragically, the county sheriff's department, on the hook. Once they're on the hook, they can't extract themselves. But all this takes place, once again, in a virtual realm, because there's nothing here that is transparent for our inspection. They make our lives completely transparent to them, and they're doing their level best to make their dealings opaque to the public in whose name they supposedly act. Now, what Edward Snowden did, of course, for whatever reason, and there are many possible explanations for why he did what he did, is that he confirmed what people like you and me and other relatively informed individuals have been saying regarding the scope of government surveillance, the purpose of government surveillance, which is not to protect us, of course, but to acquire the means of taking exemplary action against those who make themselves sufficiently irritating to the powers that be, which is why you end up with, among other things, the summary execution of Americans overseas by drone strikes, and what looks to me to be almost unambiguously the state-ordered extrajudicial assassination of Michael Hastings, who was a journalist who was looking into many of these same issues at the time when he died in what was described as an automobile accident that, like so many other instances of this kind, simply cannot be passed off as happenstance. Automobiles don't explode the way his Mercedes exploded. Mr. Hastings was not an individual known to be an unsafe or reckless driver. Eyewitnesses describe what appeared to be a bomb going off the car. The people who investigated, the first responders who investigated the crash, have been ordered not to speak with the press. There was an effort by officials to have his body cremated before it was turned over to the family. The family, fortunately, didn't permit this to happen. That last detail is particularly significant to me because it reminds me of what happened to Kenny Trenadue, the hapless man who was mistaken for one of the federal government agent provocateurs in the Oklahoma City bombing case. He was taken to a federal detention center in Oklahoma and beaten to death in a cell, and then the cell was sanitized, which is to say the evidence was destroyed, and then when the warden contacted Mr. Trenadue's family, he said that they intended to cremate the body, and she refused to allow this to happen because they had intended to display his body to show the handiwork of the people who had held him in custody. It's pretty clear that what happened is that Mr. Trenadue, who resembled in uncanny detail one of the John Doe number two, you know, the other John Doe's, the others unknown who were involved in that terrorist bombing, the federal provocateurs who carried that out in 1995, is that he had been mistaken for this man and beaten to death in order to shut him up. And I think that something very similar has happened with respect to this later incident in Los Angeles involving this reporter, although, of course, we don't have any reason to believe that he was an agent provocateur or an asset of the Fed. But on that subject, by the way, Dr. Stan, by way of a brief digression, I think that it's interesting that last week there was this report, almost exactly a week ago, about the fact that there were in 2011, at least 5,600 crimes that were carried out by informants working for the FBI. They're required, the FBI is, to file a report with the Justice Department every year giving a fairly detailed breakdown of the crimes that are committed. Authorized crimes, bear in mind. These are not things that happen without the knowledge of the FBI. These are criminal acts. These are violations of statutory law that are carried out by people on the federal payroll in the employ of the FBI as undercover intelligence assets, as undercover informants. And at least something on the order of 6,000 crimes are admitted, but they don't give, for the purpose of public discussion, a description of what those crimes are. We're told that those crimes do not involve violence or felony-level violations, but we've got no way of knowing that, once again, because they won't disclose that to us, nor will they allow us to know who these people are. And many of these people are involved in the Homeland Security theater operations that have become the stock and trade of the FBI over the last decade or so. I think I discussed a case with you a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Stan, it may have been on your program, in Washington involving a couple of mentally handicapped. By mentally handicapped, I mean these are people who suffer from a diagnosed mental illness, who were approached by an undercover operative for the FBI, who roped them into one of these ready-made, scripted, pseudo-terrorist plots involving a call to jihad. And the operative who was involved in this case was a convicted violent sex offender who was on parole. He was under the supervision of a probation officer. And during the course of this Erstat terrorist plot, he violated his parole. And that's something that the FBI suppressed in order to rope these two patsies into one of their ready-made terrorist plots for the purpose of keeping the public, maintaining the public pretense that we face a terrorist threat that is an existential threat to our country, from which we need protection from the government that employs these myriad informants, provocateurs, and criminals are allowed to do pretty much what they want to as long as it advances the federal government's interest.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Senator William Grigg. And basically, Whitey Bulger goes on trial. He's on trial right now. And basically, Chris, what did he do? Well, he was an FBI informant who was killing people.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050, jigsawmagnesium.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. 8927.
Dr. Stan, we were just talking about the Whitey Bulger case. Whitey Bulger certainly had been recruited by the FBI. He became the gang chief, I believe, in Boston, the chief of the mafia. And basically, of course, as long as he told the FBI about what his competition was doing so they could arrest him, he was given free access to run the mob there. And not only that, but he was allowed to kill a large number of people. He was involved in 19 murders. Now, a lot of the people who were involved with him have come forward, testified in his case. But of course, the last thing that the FBI wants the public to know is that Whitey Bulger was their man and they were allowing him to go ahead and kill people. In fact, eventually when this information came out, the FBI agent who was in charge of him was actually convicted and sent to prison, I think, for 10 years.
Yeah.
But basically, he said, look, I was just doing what I was told to do. And he was probably telling the truth. So the orders came from very high to actually allow Whitey to go ahead and do his murders as long as he was reporting back to the United States. He was giving all sorts of expensive gifts to the people in the FBI, and they were accepting them. That was the incredible thing. Go right ahead, William.
Well, not only that, there was a fellow who died during the trial who was going to testify against Bulger and wasn't permitted to testify.
And this he wasn't permitted to testify because he was murdered.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they'd already decided they weren't going to call him as a witness. And the story was that he committed suicide in despair, but I'm in agreement with you, Dr. Stan. It was almost certainly a case where he was suicided by somebody else. This poor guy, he saved up his money and bought a liquor store called South Boston Liquors in 1983 or 1984. And he did this at a time when it was quite expensive to buy commercial property. And the reason why I did this is a good investment. This particular tract of commercial property has parking. And anybody who's been to Boston can understand that there's a real premium on good parking in Boston. Boston is one of the most formal cities in which to drive. I hate driving in Boston. It's something that it's quite enough to drive even somebody who has a gift for serenity into a panic attack. Well, he found this place that had good parking. He set up a licensed liquor store there, which meant he had to grease a number of palms and do the familiar routine of working with the politically protected hacks in order to get the concession. So he set up a legitimate business, and it turns out that the Whitey Bulger mob, the Winterhill Gang, wanted to take control of the Boston liquor market. So they sent people by to start intimidating and harassing him. The standard trope that you find from many gangster films where they're offering him protection, then they decide they don't want protection, they want the business. He was forced to sell on concessionary terms to Whitey Bulger in 84, 85. and he was left without his livelihood, and his marriage broke up, and he had all kinds of horrible things happen in his personal life as a result of that. Later on, there was an investigation into this by the district attorney, and he was called on to testify against Whitey Bulger, and he refused to testify because he knew that Bulger was protected, and he knew that if he testified against Bulger, that his family would not be protected, that his ex-wife and his children would almost certainly be killed, and nobody would be willing to do anything to bring justice to those who are responsible for this crime because they're all protected by the Fed. And so because he wouldn't testify in order to protect his family, he was found guilty of criminal contempt and sent to jail. And after he got out of jail, he had to pay several thousand dollars to somebody who worked for Whitey Bulger's brother, Billy Bulger, the head of the Democratic Party, the legislative branch of the Democratic Party. This poor guy had to pay this guy a huge bribe in order to get a hack work job with the public transportation utility. This is a guy whose life was ruined by the FBI, not just by Whitey Bulger. Whitey Bulger, of course, I think, would have been able to get away with what he did to this man if it weren't for the intervention of the FBI and, of course, the supplementary intervention of the local political machine there in Boston. But he's a guy who was murdered just a couple of weeks ago, so he wouldn't be able to tell his story in the trial of Whitey Bulger. So there's still a sense of preferential treatment, a sense of impunity that attaches to Whitey Bulger. Has been the most useful asset to the FBI, probably in the history of their undercover operations and their investigation of organized crime here domestically. It's interesting that at the time Whitey Bulger was tracked down, he was the number one figure on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, and he replaced another individual who was a former asset in the United States government, a fellow by the name of Osama bin Laden, and they did exactly the same kinds of things for exactly the same types of reasons. And I think that Mr. Bulger is probably going to die living at public expense somewhere in the prison system, but I don't think that we'll ever hear everything that the FBI was involved in, because there are still ramifications of what they did that are relevant to what the FBI's ongoing operations today.
And I'm sure Mr. Bulger realizes that if he ever were to tell the truth about his relationship with the FBI, it would be one of the last things he ever did. The FBI has been totally corrupt. It's going all the way back to J. Edgar Hoover, who was deeply involved with the occult. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William has simply been talking about this fellow living in Idaho, who is actually part of the mob back in Boston, but because he tried to actually rub out one of the mafia chiefs without authorization, he was forced to flee, and he's been living in Idaho ever since then. Is that a correct analysis, William?
Yeah. Yeah, he left almost 16 years ago, 1997, he fled from Boston. He was the subject of an indictment, he and I think 14 other people, and he fled out here, and he actually had taught himself a great deal of tradecraft having to do with concealing his identity and acquiring identities. And he's been accused of identity theft and fraud based on identity theft in order to purchase his farm and the capital assets he needed in order to run his farm. Most of the people who knew him say that he was very unassuming and kept to himself and didn't cause any trouble at all, which is exactly what you'd expect if you've got both the mob and the FBI looking for you. And if you know that the FBI and the mob are working for the same team, that's the sort of place where he'd end up. He was accused of attempting to murder a fellow by the name of Frank Salemi, or Cadillac Frank. Most of these mob bosses have colorful nicknames, that sort of part of the mystique. I'd say call it part of the pretense. He was the former head of the Patriarca crime family, which was a rival to Mr. Bulger's criminal syndicate. That's the part of this I find really interesting. He was arrested on drug charges in 1994. He had a number of warrants that issued when he failed to show up in court. Sometime between 1994 and 1997, he fled from Massachusetts and wound up here in Idaho. He's been involved in farming for a number of years. He has a live-in girlfriend and two young children. And for the most part, he was treated like anybody else in Marsing. Marsing is a friendly little town. There are people who don't look with suspicion, at least reflect the suspicion on newcomers. I've been there on a number of occasions with my family to attend church at a congregation called the Vision Community Church. Some of the people in that church had run into Jay, and they apparently thought nothing of him. So the point that I've made earlier that I find really interesting here is that you're probably going to find people like this in every community. And many of these people not only have that background, but they're actively involved even right now as assets of the federal government. The federal government, of course, not only eavesdrops on us in terms of our phone conversations, every keystroke when we're online. That's one of the reasons why they're building that huge facility in Bluffdale, Utah, is to retain this material. It's going to take a huge number of computer servers and a great amount of water to cool those servers as they vacuum up everything that's available here electronically. But, of course, they also employ human assets, human eyes and ears, many of whom are acting on the basis of either undue influence, they're being bribed or blackmailed or cajoled, are threatened into doing this, or they're acting out of a malign motive. They're trying to do a deal with the police or with the Fed in order to avoid punishment for themselves, to get a downward departure on a sentence for a crime of their own. And it's something that operates in much the same way that multi-level marketing operates. You don't want to be everybody else's downline. You want to be somebody else's upline. You want to get somebody underneath you. And if you're somebody who's facing criminal charges, and as I understand it, one out of every 25 Americans was arrested last year. Well, that figure is a little bit misleading because in mathematical terms, the number of arrests that took place would translate into one out of every 25 Americans. Some people, many people perhaps were arrested more than once. So it's not as if, in the literal sense, one of every 25 Americans was arrested.
Well, I know, but William, the figure that I have is that one out of every three American adults, males, is either in prison, probation, or parole today, and that is a very sad commentary on America. One out of every 33 American male adults is in prison, probation, or parole. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and one out of every 33 members of the entire population, both male and female, was arrested on a nonviolent criminal offense, almost all of them having to do with narcotics. But there are other things such as disorderly conduct or obstruction or resisting arrest, other things of this sort that don't involve an actual offense against person or property that result in arrest as well. And so that's a huge population of people who are looking to find some way to cooperate in order to get special treatment, leniency, trying to find some way of avoiding prison time or potentially ruinous fines of that or other punishment of that kind. These are people who are induced into becoming informers against others. John Suriyaku, he's a person I mentioned before. He was a CIA counterterrorism analyst who was involved in investigating Al-Qaeda. He made mention of a CIA operative who was involved in torture in the course of an interview with the ABC reporter. And in an email contact with a reporter, he mentioned that individual's name. He ended up being sentenced to a prison term because of a violation of, I believe, the Intelligence Agents Protection Act or some such nonsense. He's at a prison, in a federal prison in Pennsylvania right now. He didn't violate the law. He blew the whistle on violations of the law because torture is a violation of federal law. It's a violation of the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution. It's a violation, for whatever this is worth, of international treaties to which the United States government is a party. It's a violation of the laws of God and man. There's no justification for it. And so even if he had committed a nominal violation of a federal statute, he was doing so in the course of exposing a crime, which means that what he did is not a crime itself. But he was threatened with 40 years in prison, which meant that he would never see his children again. He's got young children who need him. And from this, they extorted from him a guilty plea that would result in, I believe, a four-year prison sentence, which means he'll get out in time to see his older daughter graduate from high school. He has been writing a series of letters from his confinement in what I would consider to be a gulag. And one of the things he points out is that when they went after him, they went after his entire family. His wife called up. Actually, his wife received a letter from their insurance company, a very snotty, snide, abusive letter from the insurance company, which had been their underwriter since 1993. For 20 years, they've had this insurance company. And this letter informed her that the company was canceling its policy because they do not insure felons. He's now considered a felon because he was manipulated into a position where he had to agree to a guilty plea on a felony charge. And so what he said is that his wife was angered by this. He told her, call up the office and just arrange to have the policy put in your name. So she called the headquarters of the insurance company. Bear in mind, they've been customers for 20 years. And she was told that they don't insure felonious family, as if such a thing actually existed. But this is collective punishment, obviously. She's not a felon. Their daughters aren't felons. He's only a felon in the most positivist sense of the expression. He's a felon because the government forced him into accepting a guilty plea for an act that is not a crime. But his entire family has now been designated as felons. They're a felonious family. There's another example of that sort that occurred with respect to his bank account. He wanted to set up a bank account for a legal defense fund because he's got potentially millions of dollars in legal fees that he's going to have to pay, or at least pay in part. And he's been told by a number of potential banks that they cannot do business with him. The reason why they can't do business with him, once again, is because he's considered a felon. But more importantly, he's considered a political criminal. He's a high-profile offender. And so, particularly in the banking industry and insurance subdivision of the banking industry here, people are not going to be willing to work with him. It's interesting that one of the banks that turned him down was Wells Fargo. And I find that very interesting because Wells Fargo, of course, was forced by the federal government about 5 years ago to take over Wachovia. And Wachovia was very actively involved in laundering drug money, which is one of the reasons why Wachovia went bankrupt. It was because of their involvement not only in the underworld activity of smuggling drugs and laundering drug money, but also in underwriting the CIA's rendition programs. They're very much involved, if you will, Wells Fargo, in the criminal underworld, but this is something which they're given license to do. On the other hand, they're not willing to host an account for the legal expenses for a whistleblower. Just yesterday, there was a case that I found quite interesting involving a man named Ladar Levison, who ran an encrypted email service called LavaBit. And LavaBit, as I understand it, is a service that allows you to send and receive emails that would be at least more difficult to surveil than emails sent through another email server, such as Yahoo Mail or Hotmail or something of that sort. He sent out a notice yesterday that he was shutting down his business. What he said is that it was necessary to do this so he would not be complicit in crimes against the American people. He wouldn't explain beyond that, but he mentioned that he is setting up a legal defense fund, which means that he most likely received a national security letter or perhaps a directive from the NSA that he would have to make his email servers penetrable by the NSA for the purpose of surveillance. Now, Edward Snowden had used the LavaBit service as his email service, which is, of course, what attracted the federal government's attention to this in the first place. A national security letter, for those who don't understand what that would be, is a measure that was authorized by the so-called Patriot Act that allows a federal agent, usually an FBI agent, to write what amounts to a self-executing search warrant. They're like the writs of assistance that were issued by British occupation troops during the years spanning 1771 to 1775 when they were trying to crack down on black market activities to circumvent the extortion of British tax policies and so forth. The British soldiers would search a house and write themselves a warrant to seize whatever the evidence they found or arrest anybody that they found that they considered to be a criminal. That's one of the reasons why the founding fathers were so adamant about including the Fourth Amendment in the form that it eventually took, which meant that they had to specify the place to be searched, the nature of the items to be seized, the identity of the people to be arrested. It had to be done through an independent magistrate. It had to issue on probable cause, reasonable suspicion. You couldn't have somebody writing himself a search warrant, treating it as if it were a valid document. Well, a national security letter operates that way. And it's a particularly insidious document because if you receive a national security letter, you will be arrested and prosecuted if you reveal to people that you received a national security letter. If you reveal to the target of this unconstitutional search that he is being investigated by the feds, then you are subject to prosecution. In the case of Michael Hastings, he might very well have been summarily executed for letting people know that the FBI was investigating him. Well, Ladar Levison was confronted, apparently, I'm guessing, by the feds, most likely the FBI and or the NSA, and told that they were going to require of him that he make his email service transparent to their scrutiny. So, rather than doing this man who took 10 years to build this email service, wonderful service that he was providing, it was no doubt something that was very lucrative for him and of immense help to people who were looking to converse confidentially. He pulled the plug on his business. He was forced to do this rather than be complicit, as he put it, in crimes against the American people. That's the nature of the regime we're living under right now. They will go after you as a businessman if you have something to do with a high-profile dissident. They'll go after your family if you're somebody who is identified as a high-profile dissident. What this is, I contend, is a form of retail-level totalitarianism. We've not yet reached the point where we're living under wholesale despotism of the sort that you found under Stalin or Lenin or Hitler or somebody of that sort. But it's scalable. They start with one isolated example of somebody, such as a Bradley Manning or an Edward Snowden or a John Kiriakou or a Ladar Levinson. They treat that person as a target, and then they deploy against that person the entire arsenal of weapons at their disposal to impoverish them, to immiserate them, and where necessary, physically destroy them. In the case of Edward Snowden, the Obama administration is willing to engage in international air piracy in order to bring down the plane of the president of Bolivia on the off chance that it was carrying Edward Snowden to asylum in that country. In the case of the family of Anwar al-Awlaki, what you had was the summary execution of Anwar al-Awlaki, followed a couple of weeks later by the extrajudicial murder of his 16-year-old son by way of sending a message to that family, which had been approached by the CIA and which had been confronted with a demand that they turn over Anwar al-Awlaki to the government. That's something that Anwar al-Awlaki's brother has testified, is that he was approached by a CIA operative and told that he would be given a huge amount of money if he betrayed his brother to the regime. And a few months later, his brother was killed, and then a couple of weeks later, the son was killed. And that was a message. What they're saying essentially is that if we've identified somebody in your family as an enemy of the state, and you choose to be loyal to your family member as opposed to submissive and supportive of the regime, then nobody in your family is safe. We're perfectly capable of killing a perfectly innocent 16-year-old child in order to make that point. I thought it was interesting how today in his press conference, Mr. Obama was offered the opportunity to assess the patriotism of Edward Snowden. He was asked if, Mr. Obama said something by way of platitudinous nonsense about how there are patriots on both sides of this discussion. There are patriots who support the surveillance effort. There are patriots who've criticized some of its application. And then somebody asked, well, would you consider Edward Snowden to be a patriot? He said, no, Edward Snowden is not a patriot. Edward Snowden, of course, is a patriot, as far as I can tell. There may be other motives at work, but exposing the crimes of the government that presumes to rule us is perhaps the highest form of patriotism. And I don't think that Mr. Obama is a patriot in any sense of the word that I could recognize. He's somebody who exercises power. He's not committed to liberty. He's certainly not committed to the rule of law. But we're living in an era, once again, where you have a president who is an embryonic Stalin, who's exercising that type of unqualified power to incarcerate without trial, to torture, to disappear anybody of his choosing, whether you're talking about somebody from another country or a U.S. citizen.
Well, I was simply pointing out that Mr. Obama is intentionally and purposely destroying our nation. It took the America almost 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. Mr. Obama has accumulated over $1 trillion of debt every year he's been in office. America's on the verge of financial bankruptcy. There is no better way to bring this country down than to destroy the value of our currency. We're moving into a financial crisis. Now, certainly Mr. Obama is doing what he's doing at the behest of other powerful people who control him, but he is certainly complicit because he's going along with it. We're on the verge of a great financial catastrophe. The average American has no idea. We are having great prosperity, at least many people are. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, terrible things lie ahead. Our guest this evening has been William Grieg. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a chronic illness that is disrupting your life? Have you lost hope that you'll get better? If you have, Rob Manning may be able to help you. Rob is an experienced nurse specializing in integrative health care. If you'd like to talk to Rob without charge, or if you need nursing care or recovery coaching, call him. That's Rob Manning at 613-822-7625. 613-822-7625. You can access Rob's website at illnessstrategies.ca. That's illnessstrategies.ca. And that's spelled with three S's. Or email Rob at illnessstrategy@live.com. That's illnessstrategies@live.com. And once again, Rob's telephone number is area code 613-822-7625. Have you noticed that America is changing?
Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Dan, and before we let William go, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get your articles, and how they can get your PayPal button and help you, because certainly William has six children to raise, and he's doing a good job at that, but he does need your help. We help him. Barbara and I really believe in William. We think he writes our newsletter for us. He's a great asset to Radio Liberty, and if you'd like to help him, well, how can people get in touch with you, William?
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate that. My website is Pro Libertate. Go to a search engine, preferably not Google, and type in Pro Libertate and Grig, and you should be able to find it, or the direct address is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com, and I try to post there about once a week. There is a PayPal button at the bottom of every essay. For those who have access to PayPal and are interested in contributing, I would very much appreciate anything that you can do by way of helping me. Say, Dr. Stan, we are facing some challenges here, and so I do really appreciate the help that we've received from you and from many people in your audience. My radio program is called Freedom Zealot Radio. It's every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. At 7 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, at LibertyRoundtable.com. If you go to LibertyRoundtable.com, click in the upper right-hand quadrant, there's a button with a microphone that says Listen Live. That's how you can listen to the program. The archives are being constructed, and tomorrow night, once again, on the Freedom Zealot Radio program, I'm going to talk about the Rita Hutchins case in Sandpoint, because I think it's a significant victory. It's a small one, but it's a significant one. It's great to see somebody whose life has not completely been ruined after being targeted for this kind of persecution by a corrupt prosecutor.
Okay, well, God bless, and we'll talk to you next week at the same time.
God bless. Take care.
And you too. Bye-bye. Well, this is William Grigg, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in a position to help him, please do. And then, of course, I do need to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and basically we have to maintain our network of 50 stations, but somewhere in America every week in 50 different outlets, why our message is getting out. People are hearing the truth, and certainly probably we have almost 15 outlets for this program that you're hearing tonight. So if you're in a position to help us, don't be bashful. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I hope many of you out there will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will take you into the background of what's really going on. There have been a number of movies. There was certainly the Brotherhood of the Bell. There was the Brotherhood of the Rose. They were all talking about the same things that I talk about in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and that is the small group of people who really run the world. But of course, what I have covered that nobody else will cover are the powerful supernatural forces forces behind this drive to create a world government. So if you certainly want to understand what's really going on today and want to be able to begin to protect yourself, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I also suggest my talk on Agenda 21, the covert agenda. I think we sold about, almost 60 of them back at the conference we were at a week or so ago. People get this, and people all across America certainly will be watching it. I hope they're going to duplicate it. And incidentally, you have our permission to duplicate anything that we have created. So don't be bashful. Get these DVDs, four CD sets, duplicate them and help us to get them out. If you certainly are concerned or would like to know more about the threat of an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse attack, we have an excellent four CD set. And then, of course, we have certainly the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. Certainly, if you'd like to know the background of the Common Core curriculum that is going to be imposed upon our children across America. We have a four CD set on that. We have four CD sets on so many things. If you're concerned about the buildings, the Twin Towers that came down, we have a four tape set, 911 update. We have a four CD set, as I remember. It's a why did the buildings come down? We'll actually hear the man who was in the building at the time and the last person out of the buildings. And he will tell you about all the explosions. Those buildings were brought down by explosions. It was a controlled demolition, but they can't let the American people know that because it would be criminal activities. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Radio Show, 9 August 2013, Friday. We made it. Thank you all for joining us, caring about your world. Happy birthday to our email blaster author, Catherine. She is, I don't know how much she is today, but she is.